Hi, this is Winfrey. Winfrey. Slowly coming into his body, wondering who he is, and welcoming you to this edition of our conference line. This is one of those days that I can't remember English. The word is simulcast, taking place on a telephone conference line, and the folks that are listening on VBS radio. And again, as always, we're starting from nothing and going somewhere, like all of life. two of us going nowhere on our way back home. That's the Beatles song. And right at this moment, a little bit harried because I just drove to Los Angeles and we're doing a TV show at 7 o'clock. And we just got to L.A. and we're in, Daphne's with me, and we're in the parking lot of Gelson's. And I just thought I would check in and like to see who's on the call. Those of you that are on BBS, I hope you'll stay with us. This is going, you're not sure. We have an exciting, if I was doing a regular show, I'd say we have an exciting show planned for you. But I think it's going to be exciting. Usually it is. Usually something amazing happens. So we'll let it unfold. And just a moment.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, someone just checked in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Now I can't hear it anymore.
You're not there anymore? Would you like to say your name and the city you're in?
This is Diane from Mountain View.
Hi, Diane. Is Wesley there also?
No, he's not.
Okay. On a plane. Wayne, who else is here tonight?
Okay, we have Gary and Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Francis.
Okay, forget it.
Karen, Tucson. Kathy from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Anna from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne. Myself and Diane.
Okay. Okay. Well, who has a topic that they'd like to talk about? Name a topic.
Synchronicity.
Synchronicity. Did you have a synchronistic encounter today?
Yes, I have them a good bit.
Quite a bit.
Yes.
I have
friends who are getting them now, too.
Pardon me?
I have friends who are getting it now, too.
You mean they're catching it from you?
Well, no. It's happening to them.
Just synchronistically.
Yeah.
I actually had did a couple questions in the channelings we've done on synchronicity. And anyone else have something that's a good topic?
I'd like to talk about the compression of time, because I'm finding that it's hard to get anything done.
Compression of time? Okay. I know about that one.
Time management.
It's not so much, I don't know if time management is the right word, okay?
Yeah, I know.
anyone else have something?
This is John from New Jersey over here in Oregon.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
So we're just hanging loose tonight, and I'm just asking people what would be good topics or things to discuss this evening, and that'll get me started. I'm going to mute everybody for a moment, and we are on BBS Radio right now. I thank everyone who's listening, and just a moment.
All callers are muted.
Well, this show and most of the things that I do are connected with what we could call the law of one. And what is the law of one? I think one way of looking at the law of one is taking the idea that the entire universe is one being. That's it. And we are parts of the universe and expressions, individualized expressions of this one energy that have somehow cut ourselves off from one degree or another of experiencing directly this oneness. And sometimes I use the analogy of your body and the cells in your body, and that although you are composed of all your billions of cells, nonetheless, your cells are probably not cognizant that they're a body. They're there in their individualized function, doing whatever they do as a tiny cell, connected to all the other cells, and that they probably look forward, if they have a self-awareness, to the blood flowing through the bloodstream near the cell, and maybe the cell next to them. And it's probably somewhat analogous to how we are as humans, that we don't experience blood flow between each other, but we do experience energy between each other. And we do experience connecting with the people around us. We have an awareness of them. And when the awareness flows, we feel really good and healthy. And when the awareness and consciousness doesn't flow, we feel isolated and separate. Maybe when a cell feels isolated and separate is when it gets cancerous or something goes wrong. And somehow or another, that cell is connected with our energy. Somehow we can flow energy into areas of our body, or we cut them off, and we affect the health of the cells in that area. Obviously, when people are really hurt, their energies are really contracted, and the cells in that area eventually will be unhealthy. And when we're really joyous, when we're happy, when our energies are flowing, when we're in love, when we're feeling a sense of passion, the energies are flowing in our body and the cells are healthy through our whole body. If there's a certain area, like for example, if you have trouble releasing things, if you hold on to things in the past, I would be willing to bet that that would be a circumstance where maybe it would affect your colon or your elimination system, and that area might get sick. But it's kind of like not anything, it's something you would have to figure out. It's not obvious that that's the way it works. I don't think most people that go in for operations on their elimination system end up knowing that they're holding things back, and that's what's causing that disease. So there's this amazing connection between our whole system and all the cells in our body, and there's probably an amazing connection between the energy of the universe as it flows through the universe and us. And again, we can think of the universe as being one being, and we are the cells making up the universe, our physical existences. And that we are in the flow of other cells, other planets, other beings. It's this whole mishmash of energies. And our health is impacted. Our health, our psychological health, our awareness is connected with the flow of the universe. Now, there may be one difference between you and me, and this is a big difference, and a cell in our body. And that is, I don't think cells can act volitionally. I think cells are probably acting responsively and according to their programming. Now, according to their programming, maybe it would seem they would act volitionally, like if blood starts to bleed, the blood coagulates and stops. But I don't believe a cell made a decision, we better stop the blood there. I think that that's a programmed response. Whereas humans can act volitionally. Another difference between a human and a cell is, although a cell is limited to a very infinitesimal point in your body, your body is limited to an infinitesimal point in the universe, but you are more than your body. You are a matrix that has the potential to being as big as the universe, or as big as the collective consciousness of our planet, or as big as the room we're in, or as big as a person that you love, and certainly as big as all the people on this conference call. So we have two distinct differences between ourselves and a cell in our body in terms of this analogy. The cell is contracted to be just an infinitesimal thing, and we are trapped in our infinitesimal bodies, but connected to our bodies is a matrix that has no limits. And we have volition, so that we can direct things. We can change things. We can move our bodies, and we can move our relationship around with our matrix through, what is the tool to change the relationship with the matrix? Of course, moving the body is easy. You just get in your car and drive somewhere. You move your feet and you move your body. To change your relationship with your matrix involves your intention. Applying your intention to your matrix so that something shifts. Now, this quality that we call our consciousness is variable. Very variable. Where is your consciousness? Your consciousness relates to where you are in your matrix. Where your focus is in your matrix. Now, if you want to change your focus in your matrix, you can't do that by willpower. You have to do it by vision and intention. You have to see the possibility. Usually, you have an experience that moves you into a higher place in your matrix. And then once you have that experience, your consciousness and your vision keeps wanting you to move back into more of that experience. And so there is this constant feedback between your matrix, your intuitions, which are bringing forth messages from your matrix, your conscious mind, your emotions, and your physical body, and your feet and your car, okay, moving your body around. Now, Wayne asked, how does a synchronicity work? Nobody thought I was going to forget. A synchronicity has to do with the part of you that's in the matrix, keeping in mind that in the matrix, we are not finite. We have soft edges, and we are changing ourselves in the matrix all the time. We're changing our positions. Every thought changes your position. Every physical person that you interact with changes your position. So what happens is we have the physical reality stems from the matrix first, the things that are significant. And what happens is in your matrix, you are blending and connecting with things that are connecting to impulses to your physical reality, which causes you to make decisions that you don't even know you're making, and suddenly you end up with a miracle of perfect timing and a synchronicity. It's involved with a simultaneous intuitive connection to your matrix and following decisions that seem like they come from randomness, that just seem arbitrary, and suddenly you realize you made a decision that was so perfect that it couldn't have been arbitrary. But while you were making that decision, it seemed really arbitrary. And so it's like if you want synchronicities, you've got to pay close attention to your intuitive intuitions. It's like I remember times when I got lost. I was supposed to be somewhere, and suddenly a whole set of circumstances happened that seemed totally random, and it put me in the perfect place at the perfect time for something to happen that we would call a synchronicity. And so, I don't know if that explains it. I don't think I completely understand it, okay? I don't think it's possible to understand it completely in linear time. I did ask a question to the Elohim about it, and they said something like, it's a combination of your energies in your matrix moving around, downloading intuitions, causing you to take actions that seem random and end up with a perfect circumstance. Now, I would say at a higher level of creation, and let's just say in your matrix, there are many, many levels that your consciousness can be placed. And at one place, you're moving around and you're interacting with other consciousness. And another place is where you're actually co-creating reality on this plane. We all are part of the co-creation of reality. And as we move into the co-creation of reality, suddenly we have an impulse that goes through us, we think it, and something happens. And it's like magic. How did that happen? And you were part of the creation of it. I'm thinking, for example, and I'm not going to try to even begin to explain the nature of how this occurred, but like for the past week, I've been trying to watch the movie The Fifth Element. And if any of you watch it, for whatever reason, Bruce Willis is this cab driver in the future that's kind of funky and ordinary and very, I don't know, goes home and drinks beer, and this woman falls through the roof of his cab from another dimension, and suddenly he's her caretaker. And there was something about that movie that reminded me of my own life. And so I tried to rent it a week ago at a Blockbuster, and they didn't have it. And then, 2 days ago, I found it at another store, and then I watched it. I watched it with Daphne, and she probably resonated with it also as being having connections with the life we're doing, what we're doing now. And it's kind of I'm not going to tell you how it related. So I happened to be talking to a friend of mine last night and told her she should watch the movie, and then we visited her today, and she said, I can't believe it. I got off the phone with you, and I turned on the TV, and there was The Fifth Element playing. So how did that occur? I don't know. But it did. And, you know, all my life I've had things like that happen. But never can I make them happen. They're always just totally arbitrary. And I start a line of thinking, of intention, and then suddenly something occurs. Compression of time. Again, when I talk about the matrix, I talk about one way of looking at the matrix is different timelines that are stacked on top of each other. And that that they're all flowing from one to the next. And as you move through the matrix, your experience of time changes. So when you're having a really good time, you're in a higher place in the matrix. When time is moving fast, you're at a higher place in the matrix. When time is moving really slowly, you're probably in pain and suffering. So, right now, for those people that are aware of it, we are in what's called a dimensional shift, and the energies that are what we could call higher timelines are becoming far more acceptable to more people, and many of us are experiencing a different experience of time. Time is moving at a different rate. And what that means is that our consciousness is anchoring itself into a higher zone of the matrix. And it's easier to anchor because of this dimensional shift, because the flow of energy is here. And I believe that's how it works. So all of us are in the center of our own universe, and each moment is our moment of recreation of our life and our space. And either we're caught up in old patterns, we're caught up in all kinds of cellular memories, hurts, belief patterns of how things work that are just clogging our system or bogging us down so we can't stay in this fulcrum of the moment. Or we've got fantasies and we've got illusions about the future. And the whole thing is to rein all these things in, come into the center of it, and realize that you, in your body, are the center of the universe, and that you're moving around, and wherever you go, you are potentially part of all that is. You are all that is, compressed into your small life existence. And what is keeping you off center? What is separating yourself from that experience? What area of your life is the impediment to being in your own flow? And of course, it's different for each of us. And I know that you can hear these words over and over again, and many of you have come and listened over and over again, and there's still something that hasn't shifted. What hasn't shifted? You know, the key is learning what you need to do physically to cause a shift to happen metaphysically. What is the circumstance? Some of us have really messy rooms, and our lives aren't together. And every time you try to deal with your mess, you get tired. There's so much resistance. It's like you go to sleep, and I can't. It's like, well, somebody said that what's external is a reflection of what's internal. Now, if you want to change what's internal, you can change what's external, and suddenly things will shift. So our fingers pointed at me right now. So I wrote a song years ago called Clean Up the Bedroom. And it's like forcing yourself to start doing that and seeing if that is the thing. It seems stupid. It seems like, how could that change my life? Well, for many people, it just might. Sometimes there's something that you haven't expressed to someone. There's things that every time you're around someone, the energy is a little bit closed. And you're afraid to say something because you think, what are they going to think of me? How are they going to feel? And so you don't say it. And so the relationship stays in a stagnant place. And that stagnant place that the relationship is stays in you. It stays there. And suddenly, that very thing you're not saying is keeping you at a lower level of matrix. And just by saying it, especially if it's a person you're close to, just by saying it, you change everything. Your life changes. The relationship changes. You see that person, and there's something that has released at a deep level. So what is it that you're not saying to that person? Is there something? Can you be honest with them? Are you afraid of risking the relationship? Are you afraid if you said it, maybe they'd go away? Well, probably it would be better if they did, because if you can't be honest with a person and they're close to you, what's good about that relationship? On the other hand, if you said it and everything changed, the vibration changed, and suddenly a circumstance where you felt compressed, you were no longer compressed, then that is significant. So what are the things that we need to do to move from here to there? What do we need to do to be the center of our universe? What do we need to do to live in the center at the highest level of timeline possible, in the fastest level of movement? For everyone, it's different. Somebody, it might be cleaning up the bedroom. Somebody else, it might be saying something that they didn't communicate to somebody that releases it. What are the other things that you can actually do? Sometimes it might mean changing your diet because the food you're eating is affecting your consciousness. This is the time to learn about the things that you can do that can change your consciousness, change your level in the matrix. Sometimes it's just about doing something very kind for someone, something unexpected. You know, it's interesting. You guys know Matthew, and I was at the first time I met Matthew, I was at a channeling, and I asked a question. And, you know, I'm trying to remember the question I asked, but I remember the answer, and the answer was just absolutely beautiful. And I will never forget it. And those of you that are listening on BBS have not been to one of our Matthew conference calls on Wednesday, I urge you to do so because they are very profound. It's at 6 o'clock, and if you go to www.theradiantzone.com, you'll get the information. And the thing was, he talked about when I went to a talk, and I was giving a talk, and he said, you know, the important people who are important for you to connect with are the people that stay after the talk. That's the most important time. Not to rush out and say, oh, my talk's finished, but get to know those people. And those are the people that will support the work you're doing with. Now, in actuality, I've done that. I've usually done that. But I didn't do it with such the awareness of why it was important. And I can see, you know, sometimes when you're giving a talk, you see people in the audience and everyone leaves and there's two or three people. Those two or three people are the ones that I was supposed to connect with. Now, I'm trying to remember the question that he was answering when he told me that, but I just know it was profound. I don't even know how that connects to everything else we're talking about on this line, but maybe it had to do with, say, the potential to think of yourself as aloof or special, and that maybe not wanting to get involved or being afraid of being involved with people, or people were all going to pull on your energies, and thinking you could just talk and leave and that was enough. And it wasn't. It was the people who waited, who needed to talk, were the important people. They were the ones that I would connect with. And he was right. You know, I'm rambling around and going from here to there in this particular talk tonight. It's probably because I'm thinking about quickly going to this thing in Hollywood. And excuse me for being slightly, dispersed in this particular talk. I do have Daphne next to me. And do we have any comments from anybody? From those guys? Daphne, of course, is the person that is a channel, and as most of you know, that for whatever reason, these guys on the other side like to talk to me because I'm silly or smart enough to put it out into the world, and they like a voice in the world, and that, you know, we've come to learn that they're not just a voice and intelligence, but they're actually these huge energies. You know, we were talking earlier about the whole universe is one, and that these voices seem to be parts of the greater universe in the higher dimensions where time moves very fast, and that when they talk, many people feel them in their space, feel a shift in the energy. And let's go, should we call in the light?
Yeah.
Okay. Daphne's agreed to bring a few words in from our sponsor, so to speak. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here on the line and everyone listening in BBS. And we take our negativity and let it go to the higher realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, those of us who free-willingly ask and choose to participate, we blend our energies into a group energy. Take a moment and experience that feeling of that energy as it comes in. And we now invite those group souls and those energies in other dimensions to blend with our energies. And we can take a moment and feel that blending. It's just one of those moments where you all have a reference point of how it feels to have a big matrix, to be at a high place in the matrix that we're talking about. And we bring those energies in, and I will now pass the microphone and give those energies a voice, which I believe will be probably the Elohim, but we'll ask them to identify themselves.
Put it up. Hold it.
Okay. One moment, please. We welcome you this evening. We bid you love. And for those aligned in the service of the one infinite creator of this galactic sector, we bid you a most hospitable welcome and auspicious in this evening. For there are elements of your experience which are passing, which have come to pass, which have yet come to pass, which take your essence of self and propel it into unimagined fruits of ecstatic operational existence. This is a strange combination of words, you ask us. What is operational existence? An operation in the sense we now mean is to more fully encompass all of what you are and all what you could possibly imagine yourself to be. For you are not in a linear time stream any longer, nor operating only from this density. You are now becoming conscious of operating simultaneously within this and a myriad of other time and space streams. Yes, you are now operational in the sense that your oversoul has access to you in a conscious way. Your life begins to take on certain aspects of a dream-like quality. It is fluid. It is shifting. It is morphing continuously from one essence of experience into the next. And you shall find that the efficacy, the effectiveness with which you had previously been able to orchestrate your experience, because it was linear and perceived as such, is no longer so functional. Rather, it is dysfunctional. Would you wonder why the words dysfunctionality are so prevalent in your culture's vocabulary? It is because the essence of operation consciousness is no longer linear, and therefore can no longer be contained within linear formality. It is a difficult time in the sense of shifting gears, shifting bicycle gears. For example, there is a moment when the chain has not quite caught onto the sprocket of the next gear, yet you are moving forward nevertheless. There is a sense of incomplete control, and this is indeed correct. You are not in control in the way that the ego is used to being in control. It is a process of conscious allowing, a process of conscious letting go and allowing yourself to swim in the current, in the tide of faster moving time-space continuum than that which you are used to. It is an interior learning about what it is to know outside of steady consciousness. It is more kind of glimmering or flickering consciousness, which eventually will connect with a more steady consciousness as you anchor into the higher levels of light and love towards which you are being now propelled at a very fast speed. Come April, the 4-4, this will be much more firmly anchored for you. We are now in the initiatory 1-1 gate, moving into the 2-2 and the 2 and the 3-3. These refer to the months and the days. This is Archangel Michael speaking. We are most gladdened you hear our message and this clarion call to service in the name of the Christed and Anointed, One Infinite Creator. Om. Pax Christus. Adonai.
Let's take a moment, put our energies together, keep our energies together, and take this flow of energy that we have now established and anchor it through our bodies, hold the space. Hold the space in your environment. Project this energy outwards to those people who you contact, who are also extensions of this energy, whether they know it consciously or not. They will feel it from you. As we have hold this energy together, let us direct it for a moment towards planetary healing. Those of you who are listening on VBS know that every Sunday morning we do a planetary healing call, which we call a grid healing. In fact, we do it every night. And if you're feeling this energy, please inquire. Go to our website, higher-vision.org, and learn about some of the other activities we're doing. This energy is a reference point for your own experience in higher dimensions. And now we send this energy just to our East Coast states, Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey. See in your mind's eye this flow of energy through all those states, all the way down to Florida, and going from the East Coast and sweeping like a curtain across our entire country to the West Coast. To Washington, Oregon, California, realize that you are doing this as a co-creation with those energies in these other dimensions. You are important. And it's a rare service to have a group down here that holds these energies and anchors them to the planet. On that note, I'm going to say goodbye to our BBS listeners. Again, please go to higher-vision.org to learn more about this work and our other activities. And I'm going to turn it over to Wayne. And if Wayne, if you don't mind, could you conduct the personal sendings of the light? Because we're supposed to be somewhere in 10 minutes, and better for you to do it while I'm not driving. So hang on a second.
No. Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. So good night again to BBS. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Don.
All callers are unmuted.
And I've just unmuted you. And I'm going to, I'll listen in silently while we're driving, and Wayne will conduct the calling in of the individual sending of the light.
Okay, thank you, Wayne. Okay, everyone now.
There are 14 participants in the conference.
Take a couple of deep breaths. And realize that when you put someone in the light, that you're thinking of the person as a whole person. I'd like to start the individual, starting with Gary. Gary?
Yes, I'd like to send light and love to Gary myself. For peace of mind and understanding. Also, I'd like to send a light and love to Tiffany, my mother. I'd like to send love to my son. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Mary Ann.
Yes, I'd like to everyone on the line, to Anthony, Nathan, me, Anna, Victoria. Go. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Francis.